Okay, we're continuing in Drush HaRan in the Drush HaRavi'i, and we're in the Mosad Rav Kook on page Kuf Nun Aleph. Okay, so last time we were in the middle of a series of questions that the Ran had asked on the Parsha, the Psukim in Kisisa, about Moshe, asking about the Yud Gimel Midos. And the story was that Moshe had said, Hashem, we don't, why you didn't tell me, you said you're going to send the Malach, and you didn't tell me who the Malach is. And then Moshe said, please, if I found favor in your eyes, Hashem, please tell me your Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, your 13 attributes of mercy. And he says, and if you don't go with us, then please don't take us. And later on he says, if I found favor in your eyes, please come with us, because this is a stiff-necked nation. So the Ran asked three major questions on this whole story. Number one, why, when Moshe said right away, you know, you're going to send Hashem, you'll send a Malach to come with us, why didn't he daven right away, please come with us directly instead of the Malach? And that's not what Moshe did. The first thing Moshe did was to say, can you please tell me the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim? Why did he do that and not daven right away that the Malach should not come and it should be Hashem himself? And second of all, Hashem says to him, Panay Elechu Banichosi Lach, Hashem says, I'm gonna come. And then Moshe says back, Imein Panecha Olchim, if you don't come, what do you mean? Hashem just said he is gonna come. Why did he respond, Imein Panecha Olchim? And third of all, after Hashem says again, Gan Mesa Devar Sheh Hazash Debarta said, this thing that you asked, I'm gonna do that too. So then why did Moshe say then afterwards, Imnam Matzasi Chin Beinecha Yelechna Hashem Bekerbenu? Again, fighter. Moshe says again, please come with, you know, Hashem says, I'm going to do what you want. And then Moshe says again, we need you to please come with us if I found favor in your eyes. And then as if to give a reason for it, because they're a stiff-necked nation. Now, how on earth does that make sense? They're a stiff-necked nation. We just explained this. The whole reason why Hashem said he didn't want to be with them, because if they sin, they're going to get wiped out. Anyway, basically the round ends off and this whole Parsha is very hard to understand and needs an explanation. Okay, so last week we started his explanation of the whole Parsha. So basically, just to review real quickly, he said that when Moshe first starts off saying, you said you'd send a Malach, you didn't say who. So Moshe basically wanted to then say, we'd rather you, Hashem, come with us. And that which you said, if I come, you're going to be, if the Jews sin, they'll be wiped out. So I have an answer for that. Tell me that you'd give him midos rachamim. Because you're right, Hashem, of course, Hashem's right, Befe. If it's true, if Hashem will come with us, there's a danger that the Jews might be wiped out if they sin, if it's Hashem and not a Malach. But if you tell me the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, then we don't have a problem, because if the Jews sin, I'll daven to you, and I'll know the Yud Gimel, the 13 attributes of mercy, and then when I daven to you, you'll listen to us, you'll listen to me, and you'll forgive the Jews, and then you could come with us. So that works better. And that's why he continued, Rei Ki Amcha Goyazeh, and see that this is your nation, meaning that it's better, of course, if you come with us, because they're your nation and you want to be with them. So on that, Hashem responded, Panei Elechu Vanichosi Lach, okay, fine, I'll come with you. But what he meant to say was, not that I'm going to come with you right now, but what he meant to say is, I don't have to tell you the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, because I'm not going to come with you now, but I am going to come with you when you get to Eretz Yisrael. Then I can come with you, and then there's less to be afraid of. So temporarily, I'm not going to be with you in the desert, but I will have my Shekhinah back with Klal Yisrael once they get into the land of Israel, once they get into Eretz Yisrael. So then the Ran asked, well, why is that? Why is it that in the desert, Hashem says, it's too dangerous to be with them, for Hashem's Shekhinah himself to be with them, and yet when they get into Eretz Yisrael, then it would be okay, then there's nothing to be afraid of. Why is that? But just in terms of explaining the pasuk, when it says "Pana yelechu v'anichosilach," it means I will go with you. V'anichosilach, meaning when you come to Menucha, when you are not in the desert anymore, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, then I will be with you directly. So the Ran breaks to explain what's special about Eretz Yisrael versus the Midbar. So the Ran explains that the real Avera we're talking about here, the real dangerous Avera that would have made the Jews be wiped out, Chas v'Shalom, is the chait of Avodah Zarah. That's what was the real fear. The Jews, if they would go do Avodah Zarah, then that would be the sort of Avera that they'd get wiped out from. And the reason why we're more likely to fear that in the desert is because, as he's explained, that every nation and every place in the world has a malach or a sire or some celestial being that's in charge of it. And Eretz Yisrael does not. Eretz Yisrael is controlled directly by Hashem himself. There's no malach of Eretz Yisrael. However, the other nations of the world, or the other places in the world, do have a malach on top of them. So therefore, when they're in the desert, it's more likely that they're going to try to worship Avodah Zarah, meaning whenever someone worships Avodah Zarah, what that means is they're going to worship the power, the Tsar, the Malach, in charge of that place, like the sheep in Mitzrayim, whatever. They're going to worship the Koach in Shamayim, the power, the celestial power in Shamayim that rules over that place, instead of worshiping Hashem himself. So in Eretz Yisrael, there is no such power. It's only Hashem directly. But outside of Israel, say in the desert, so then there's other powers, and that's how the Chet HaEgel happened. As the Ramban tells us in Chumash, that the Chet HaEgel was the Jews trying to worship the power of the desert, which was the ox. So bottom line is that in the desert, there's more reason to be worried that they would go after Avodah Zarah. And as we explained last time, of course, there's only one power. Hashem controls everything, but he, just like a person has a boss, you know, in this world, there's a physical manifestation of someone being in charge of you, even though Hashem really controls everything. Same thing in the celestial world, there's a certain nature to the celestial world, and there are things in charge of places. So we'd be more afraid that the Jews would come to worship Avodah Zarah in the desert instead of directly Hashem. So that's why in the desert, Hashem can't go with them, because they're more likely to worship Avodah Zarah as opposed to in the Midbar. Okay, that's where we got up to next week. We're starting now, we're up to the word Mitzuruf on page Kufnan Alf. Okay, so the Ran adds, Mitzuruf, she yoseh roi, she yiyu dveikim b'shem ha'nichba b'eretz ha'kdoshim b'chutz aretz. Secondly, makes more sense to be connected to God when you're in Israel than when you're outside of Israel. V'gam, and thirdly, ki roi lochosh pen yasigem ha'kiloyim b'hamros dvar Hashem yitzbarach yoseh b'midbar mi b'eretz yisrael. It's more likely for something terrible to happen to the Jews if they would sin in the desert than if they would sin in Eretz Israel. Why? Mitzad hayos hamidbar makam sakana, because the desert is dangerous anyway. Nachash, Saraf, Yaakov, there are snakes, there are scorpions, there are all kinds of poisonous stuff there. Bitzimon, and there's no water, and there's people thirsty. Hasharin mayim v'hamokam, olol sham yosin l'kav v'lekilayim mishar v'koma. So the desert is a place that's dangerous anyway, and you kind of need a little extra help to survive there anyway. So if they would sin there, so then they go kind of back to their natural state, where they're in a dangerous spot and anything can happen, they can get killed. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not as dangerous a place, so Hashem, so to speak, has to make more of an effort or more of a nace to cause something bad to happen to the Jews in a non-dangerous place than in the desert, where it's more naturally dangerous. This is not like the people who are big chassidim, he's talking sarcastically, kind of. Not like the people who say, oh, Hashem is one, there's only one Hashem, every place is the same to Hashem. You know, like they say, if a bullet's going to get you here, a bullet will get you there. Everything is all the same to Hashem, b'chol makom, l'heitiv, l'hara. Everything's exactly the same for good or for bad, no matter where you are. Says the Ran, k'ein einyan k'ein, that's not true. Hashem made it. There are places that are dangerous, that are hasakanas yosir krovim lehefsed mishar makomos. It's more dangerous in certain places than there are in other places. If a person's in a very dangerous place and Hashem's hashkacha is not protecting him directly from the natural state of events, and he gets left to nature, yasi genu harap, bad thing could happen to a person. Lochina davir b'shar matzias, but that's not the case in the rest of the world, in non-dangerous places. That's not the same. We see that many times in Chazal. If a person's in a place of danger, so then their yetzahara speaks up more. In other words, like we explained, it takes more of a Hashem's effort, kaviyach, more of Hashem's hashkacha, which, in other words, more is chusim, more merits come off your part for Hashem protecting you in a dangerous place, as opposed to in a safe place, you'd need more averus, because Hashem kind of has to do a little bit of a miraculous thing to cause something bad. So it's not all the same. Therefore, bottom line is, the Ran is saying that therefore in Eretz Yisrael it's a little safer, and there it makes sense that Hashem, if Hashem was there, you know, it's not like they're going to get wiped out so quick. Therefore, Amar Hashem is Baruch Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, "Eineni tzarich l'adiach adar chayim b'shvil zeh." That's why Hashem is saying, "You asked for the Yud Gimel Midos. I don't need to tell you the Yud Gimel Midos." Kein daitili parin me'aleichem v'apani yehili aleichu b'sochachem. I am not going to go away. I'm going to be with you. However, v'zei amnam b'hanichi l'cha u'lahem. But that's only when we get to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to go away for now, but when we get to Eretz Yisrael, my Shechina will return. So the Ran's now addressing, it says, sounds like Hashem's talking to Moshe individually. It doesn't mean you personally, it means the Jewish people, like the Ran brings from this other pasuk. But the point is, Hashem is talking, when the Jewish people reach their place of rest, so then my Shekhinah will return. Okay, Moshe lo hispik lo zeh. For Moshe, that was not enough. For Amar, and Moshe then says, Imein panecha holchim al ta'aleinu mizeh. Moshe says, I don't want to wait till Eretz Yisrael. I want you to be with us now. Vukomer, that's as if to say, Imein panecha holchim me'ata, if your Shekhinah is not coming with us now, in ro'i shenozuz mikan kal, then we shouldn't move at all. Kiim lo, because if so, otherwise, how will it know that we're a special nation? Only if you go with us. Why? Because if you only come back, if your Shekhinah only dwells with us when we get to Israel, nobody's going to say it's because of us. They'll say it has nothing to do with us, it has to do with Israel. Because they'll see, when we were outside of Israel, your Shekhinah was not with us, and we're inside of Israel, you are. So they'll say it's not special about the Jews, it's nothing special about Israel. Hashem is baruch holodol ledvarav. Hashem was moda to Moshe's words, v'amar, and says, Gamas ha-davar hazeh, Hashem dibarta hazeh, this which you said, I will do as well, ki matzasa chen be'inai, because you found favor in my eye, v'idacha b'shem, and I will know you with a name. Herich b'davar v'amar, then he continued in saying, ki matzasa chen be'inai, v'idacha b'shem, so Hashem went on to say, since you found favor in my eyes, I will know you with my name, Shiyya Ma'ana Amash Amar Moshe Tchila Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's an air response to what Moshe said originally, Vatar Marti, that Ticha B'Shem, Gam Matzasa Chad B'Enai. That you said to me that you will let me know your name and that I found favor in your eyes. Ki Zeh Asa Mitzad Achein Asher Matza B'Enav. So in other words, Hashem says, okay, Moshe, fine, I agree with you. I'll be with you even in the desert. And it's because you were Motzei Chein B'Enai, you Moshe, because I like you. That which it says, and I will know you by name. That's what Moshe said. You said you would let us, you would know us with your name. Not like Moshe said, we want to be a special nation. Hashem is saying, well, I'm not so much into that right now. It's because I like you, Moshe. Also to hint him, he was also hinting to him that which Hashem agrees, okay, fine, even in the desert, I'll go with you, and not through an angel. It's like Hashem said, it's only because I like you, Moshe, and it would only last while Moshe was around. When Yeshua came around, then the Malach's coming back. Until they get to Israel and take it over. So, now that Hashem says, okay, fine, I'll do what you said, Moshe, because I like you, I'll keep my Shekhinah amongst the Bnei Yisrael, even in the desert. So therefore, okay, so now we should go back to what we said. Okay, if Hashem is going to go with us in the desert, so what about us getting wiped out, Chas v'Shalom, in the desert? So Moshe had said, I need to know the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy, so that if the Jews sin, I can daven for them. Kim lokein, because if not, Yoshev chashash Hashem yizbarach l'mkoma, because then what Hashem says, you might get wiped out, comes back to place. Via Yosef tov l'itzel, sheyipared Hashem yizbarach me'am, then it would be better that Hashem not be with them. So, we need to get back to having the Yigil Mevidas Rachamim. Mefika chazer l'sheila sarashonu. So again, Hashem agrees to Moshe, fine, I'll go with you in the desert. Not because to show how special Klal Yisrael is so much, but more because I like you, Moshe. So he goes back to his original question. But now when Moshe is saying, okay, so now I need to know the Yigil Mevidas Rachamim, Moshe expands it a little. Because he saw Hashem, there was an eighth Ratzon, a time where Hashem was going to do what the person wants. It's a Ratzon to that person. And Moshe says, Harini Naas Kavadecha. So Moshe said, please show me your honor. Do not think Moshe, when he said, oh Hashem, I'd like to, Harini, show me your honor, that Moshe expected to see some kind of revelation where he would see God himself, whatever that means. Of course, Moshe had no thought of asking that he should know Hashem, Batzmuso, Hashem himself. Knowing God truly, 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 is only possible to God Himself. It's absolutely, totally impossible to know God in its essence for anything other than God. Was already asked, this is brought in the Sefer Ikrim, was asked to one of the Chachamim, Mahu Abore. Someone asked one of the Chachamim, what is God? Heshev ilu yadativ hayisiv. He responded, if I knew what God was, I'd be God. So to know God in his true self is only conceivable by God Himself. Aval mimashe yeshiva Hashem yisbarach v'amar, that which Hashem responded, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chay, that which Hashem said, oh, that's not possible, because no one can see me and live. Nira shaisa she'elaso shel Moshe, she'asigenu omed mechuber beguf v'nefesh, k'mo she'tasigenu ha'nefesh achari parta me'aguf. What shows it, what really was the question was, Moshe wasn't expecting to know Hashem. It's impossible. What he meant was, I want to know you, Hashem, just like a soul, when a person dies, they have some connection to God. That's obviously in a higher level than they have when they're alive. So Moshe wanted that connection while still alive. And that his body shouldn't be in the way at all of any connection he could have to Hashem. He wanted to have that connection to Hashem, to Ribbono Shel Olam, while still in his physical body, without his body getting in the way. Hashem is baruch yeshivu shezeh bilti efshar. Hashem responded to him, that's impossible. V'amri ki lo yirani ha'adam l'chai. That's what Hashem responded, no one can see me while they're alive. V'zeh odas or b'sinu zal sh'amru. And that's what Chazal said, meant when they said, b'chayeyem in ro'ino. So that tzaddikim don't see Hashem while they're alive. Aval b'misasam ro'ino. So, but when they are dead, they do see Hashem. Again, doesn't mean they know Hashem b'atzmuso, chas v'shalom. Rather, it means they know whatever level they know, it's more than alive. Lufikach Amar Hashem Yisbarach leMoshe. Therefore, Hashem said to Moshe, "Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. I will pass all my good over your face. V'karasi b'shem Hashem lefanecha. I will call in the name of Hashem before you. V'chanosi es asher achon. V'richamti es asher arachem. Basically, I'll have mercy and forgive who I want to forgive. Ramaz lo bazeh. Hashem was hinting with that. Shiodiehu b'yud gimel midos. That Hashem will let him know the Yud Gimel Midos, ki bahen tekubal tefilaso l'rachim gamal osam shein roi l'rachim. That with God's giving Moshe the Yud Gimel Midos, and with, when Moshe will use that to daven, so then Hashem will have mercy even on those who do not deserve mercy. K'moshe amra basinuzal, like Chazal tell us, v'chanosiyas asher achon, af al pi sheheno hogan. V'richamtiyas asher achim af pi sheheno hogan. Now Hashem says, I will have graciousness upon those who I decide to, and I'll have mercy on the ones I decide to have mercy on, even though they are not worthy of it. Lefishu davar zarktas, and since that sounds strange to the ear, Hashem yizbarach yirachim osam sheinam hagunim, that Hashem should have mercy on someone who doesn't deserve it, sounds strange to us, so therefore, babaloshin sasam, therefore it writes it, you know, in like a poetic way without saying it straight. I'll have mercy on the ones I want to have mercy on. But the Chazal tells us what that means is even people who are not fitting for it. So therefore, if the Jews would sin in the Midbar, Chas v'Shalom, so Moshe would use the Yigam Amidos Rachamim, and when he would say that, so then Hashem would have mercy on them. Again, we don't have time really now to get into how that works, but we're just take it as faith now, what the Ran says, that when Moshe would say the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, for whatever reason, Hashem would accept that and not cause the punishment. Fine. Continues the Ran. V'yad lo makom asher sham yodiyuhu drachav. So Hashem gave him a place where he's going to tell him the Yud Gimel Midos. V'heim Yud Gimel Midosim shu misratza baskaros. And these are the 13 Midos that Hashem is nisratza, is appeased to the Jewish people when you mention it. U'lefisha adayin lo yiftiach HaKadosh Baruch L'mosh Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom bebirur sheyistach avon Yisrael. And since Hashem did not promise Moshe that he will for sure forgive the Jews, aval amr zeh b'loshen stam k'mo sha'amar, but he just said generally, v'chanosi yasar asher achon richamti yasar asher rachim, Hashem didn't say, I'll always forgive. He just says, I'll forgive who I want to forgive. You know, I'll have mercy on he who I want to have mercy on. So therefore, Chazar Moshe k'mishirot z'levayr hadvarim liyokar inyan. So therefore, Moshe said it again, more clearly, because he wanted it spelled out. V'uka'omer nevayr bir b'kashasein amahi. It's as if someone's saying, well, let me clarify what I mean to ask. V'hi. And that is why Moshe continues. Imna matzasi chen b'enecha yelech na Hashem b'kirbenu ki am k'sheyorifu. I want you to please come with us because we are a stiff-necked nation, meaning if they're given over to a malach, you will not be able to deal with them. If they say inaval betnai sheyu betuchim shekasher naskin lefenecha seinu atfila sheniya betuchim shtislach lavaninu lchatoseinu, but I wanted that we should be given over that when we say these yud gilmol midos of rachamim, you will for sure have mercy on us. Ki eno maspik li masher marti v'chanosias asher achon v'richamtias asher achim. Moshe is saying it's not good enough what you said, Hashem, that I will have mercy on he who I wish to have mercy on. Because maybe it'll be a person you don't want to have mercy on, or a time. So then in those cases, it would be better we'd be given over to an angel. I'm davening that you, Hashem, should go with us. And I need this because we are a stiff-necked nation. And it's unlikely that they will not do a sin and not do what the Malach says. It's unlikely they will be perfect. And if they rebel against him, you already told me that he can't handle sins, can't work with sins, because that's not the way a Malach is created. So because you can forgive, that's why we need you. But just on condition that we know that when we sin and we daven before you, that you will for sure forgive us. Meaning the sins of all of us. Then we'll get the great benefit of having the Shekhinah with us, plus no damage. Then we'll be your nation. Hashem said fine to that too. Therefore Hashem says, okay, we can make it an official bris. It's as if to say there will be a covenant between you and me. That any time you say the Yigal Mimidos, it'll always work. At least partially. And this is what Chazal meant when they said, bris krusa l'yud gimel midos, there's a covenant with the yud gimel midos. And then this is the kel, rachum, bachan, and rachapayim, you know that whole thing, that's the yud gimel midos. Shein and chosros rekom, they do not ever come back empty, they always accomplish something. Shenem rehinei anochi kareis bris, like it says, I am making a covenant, that's a guaranteed thing. V'amer g'neged kalam chaya, senef lo'os asher l'nivru b'chal aretz v'chal agoyim. And I'm going to make miracles that are not in any land or in any nation. Even though the Jews already had many miracles done for them in Mitzrayim and on the sea, but those were miracles that Hashem did when Hashem wanted to do them. Not just when the Jews wanted them. This bris with the Yud Gimel Midos, it's an even bigger miracle. When the Jews will say the Yud Gimel Midos, a miracle will happen for them because they asked for it. Any time they do the Yud Gimel Midos, it'll always have at least some effect. Okay, alternatively, it could be going back on when Moshe said, that's what Seneflos is going back on. Okay, the Ran concludes, Mikol Mokam, Olam Mizos HaParsha Hu Shehisig Moshe Mevukasho. The bottom line of the whole Parsha is that Moshe got what he wanted. V'chi Hayos Yisrael Am K'sheyaref, and even though the Jews were a stiff-necked people, Siba Lios Toelos Yisrael Shehistalek Hashem Yisbarach Mehem Yimtzril Hanhagas Malach. So that's a reason why the Jewish people should be given over, should be away from Hashem and given over to a Malach. If they can't be guaranteed that Hashem will forgive them, then it's too dangerous, they need to be given over to a Malach. But if there's things that they can do, that if they sin, there's a way that they can get out of being destroyed. So then their very stiff-neckedness is a good reason to have Hashem with them, because Hashem can forgive. The Malachs can't forgive. So the very fact that they are an Am Kishay or Afu is why Hashem should be with them, because Hashem can forgive and the Malach cannot. Since the angel cannot forgive their sins, it's better because they are a stiff nation that Hashem should be with us. Like we said by the Malach, that's what the Pasuk said by the Malach. If you don't listen to him, he will not forgive you. So that explains the Pasuk when Moshe said, the reason why he should be with us is because we are a stiff-necked nation. Because now that we know the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, we're much better off with you being with us than with a Malach. Okay, again, I was reading it as it says it, which, you know, maybe it sounds a little, I don't know what the right word is, maybe not as delicate as you'd expect with a conversation between Hashem and Moshe, but with the Brown just trying to explain the psukim, what they mean, and the bottom line is that the whole parsha is going back and forth about the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, and then Moshe, so to speak, convincing Hashem to be with the Bnei Yisrael, even in the desert. And we'll, Mr. Hashem, continue next week. Chag Kosher Sameach.